Hello, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the weekly Q&A. I'm Coach MJ, the head coach here at NoBS. I'm excited to be here. We're talking all about planning today. So, who all is freezing cold today? Like, it is freezing here in South Carolina. I think it's even colder in Nashville, actually. But who's stuck in the cold? Who is stuck in the cold? Oh, it's rough. We have got Coach Lisa here with us today. She's going to be in the chat and the Q&A, and I'll be here answering all of your questions. We're going to talk a little bit about planning, but then this is a true Q&A. So it is all about getting your questions answered. Make sure that you put them in the Q&A for me to answer, because the chat goes fast, and then I can't see what I miss things in the chat. So, a couple of announcements. This month, we are all about the No BS weight loss course. That's what we're working on this month in No BS. So, make sure that you are listening to the new No BS weight loss course. And when you are done, check your boxes on the website if you've listened to it on the podcast. And once you do that, head over to this month in No BS page. Fill out the form because you get a digital prize when you fill out the form. Everybody gets a prize, and you are also entered to win a physical prize pack that we will be mailing to you direct from Corinne. So make sure that you fill out that form. It is imperative so that you can get your digital prize and be entered to win a little goodie in the mail, which everybody loves something in the mail. All righty. So let's talk a little bit about planning. So in No BS, we don't talk about planning until you get a little bit further in the course. So we are now talking about module 5 in the No BS weight loss course, planning. So you have the quick start guide that has like a little like pre-plan where you just put like, what did I eat? And then was I hungry when I ate? Did I stop it enough? But once you get into module 5, you can switch over to the planner. Once you hear Corinne talk about it, the spirit of the plan and all the things, you can go ahead and move over to it. So even if you're in your first 30 days, if you get there, that is fine. If you're not ready to plan, keep using the quick start guide. No biggie. You do you, boo. We're fine. Go ahead and do what works for you. But we do explain the 24-hour plan in module 5 of the No BS weight loss course. So Corinne talks all about what we've done in the past is not planning. Because a lot of you are like, it makes me feel restricted. I feel locked in. I hate this, you know, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it comes from those past diets where we were given a here's all you can have, no more. This is your list. Didn't include anything worth a damn on it. And that's all you can have. And you had to pick from that approved list and write it down. You did not have a say in a lot of this planning that you've done in the past when you were writing out what you were going to eat. The difference is you can put anything on your plan that you want. You're going to include the foods that you love on this 24-hour plan, which makes it totally different than what you have probably done in the past. So the thoughts that you have about planning for a lot of you, it is the bullshit that you used to have to plan. You did not have autonomy. You could not put a piece of cake on there or a piece of bread on there. You had to only eat what they said you could eat. So of course it felt restrictive, but now you get to write down what you want. And the truth of the matter is, it has never been what you ate that created weight gain or the inability to lose weight. What created that for you was emotional eating, overeating. That is what created that for you. Bread, if you eat a piece of bread or a sandwich and you eat it when you're hungry and you stop when you've had enough, you will lose weight. It has never been about the bread or the pasta or the any of that stuff. It's never been about that. It is eating when you feel like shit. Eating when the kids finally go to bed and you let yourself have a break. Eating when your boss is an asshole. Eating whenever you've just had a crappy day. Eating when you're tired. That is where the problem comes in. It's not what you eat. So put it on your plan. All those foods that you thought, I can't lose weight. If I've never lost weight before eating pasta. What happened? The reason you think that is because probably what happened is you're on some restrictive diet and then you can't have pasta, you can't have pasta, you can't have pasta, you can't have pasta, and you turn it down and it's really all you've been wanting. When you finally let yourself have pasta, you eat the pasta and then you eat the pasta till you can't eat no more. You overeat the pasta. And then what do you think? Well, fuck it. I've screwed up now. I have had me some spaghetti and now I have failed again. And then you go get dessert. And then the next day you think, well, I mean, I'm already off. I might as well start on Saturday or Sunday or Monday. I'm already off. I've already screwed up. I might as well just enjoy my weekend. And the next thing you know, on Monday, yes, you have gained weight, but it was not the pasta. It was overeating the pasta, then beating yourself up for it, and then going face down in every food you could get your hand on, every carb, because you couldn't have carbs for so long. That is what created the gain, not the pasta. So put it on the plan. Eat it when you're hungry and stop when you've had enough. And the plan is not just like, I can have what I want. I can plan everything. Yes, you can have everything, but it has to go along with doable hunger. Put it on the plan, but eat it when you're hungry and stop when you've had enough. So your plan needs to meet three specific needs. Number one is your emotional needs. So when you're tired at night, you're just exhausted, mentally exhausted, emotionally exhausted. Make sure that you are planning something that you want. When you're already tired and you feel like crap and you've looked at your calendar, don't plan something you don't want at night. Plan something that's going to make you feel good, even make you feel a little bit comforted. Things that you love. Put that on the plan when you know you're emotionally going to need something that gives you a little something so that you can eat when you're hungry and stop at enough. Because what happens is we have a terrible day, we're exhausted. We can't take nothing else. And we've got dry-ass chicken and broccoli on our plan. What do we say? I can't. I mean, I don't even want that. I've had a shitty day. I'm going to pull through the drive-thru or I'm going to order a pizza or whatever. If you know you've got a busy day ahead and you know you're going to be exhausted, plan something you love at night. Give yourself that gift. There's no shame in that. There is no shame in planning something that you know. It's freezing cold, right? Plan something that you know is going to warm your heart and soul tonight for all of you who are freezing to death. Probably be out all day long, a lot of y'all, just exhausted at the end of the day, fighting the cold. Plan something that you love. The next thing is your physical needs. How do foods make you feel? Do they give you heartburn? Do they give you energy? What do these foods do for you? You want to think about that. And a lot of times, the foods that you think don't feel good, or the foods that you think give you heartburn, or the foods that, like, give you like reflux or whatever, you'll find out that when you actually eat them when you're hungry and stop it enough, it's not that ice cream for a lot of you makes you feel bad. It's a half gallon of ice cream makes you feel bad. Scoop of ice cream, not so much. It actually feels decent. So start eating those foods when you're hungry and stopping at enough, but also pay attention to how does it make you feel physically? Does it give you energy? Does it give you a dip in energy? Does it make you feel kind of bloated and weighed down? Or does it make you feel like, you could go another few hours and slay the day? Start making note of that. And then finally, practical. Look at y'all's calendar. I mean, when I was in No BS, I was a competitive dance mom and I had a senior in high school and all that kind of stuff. I had to look at my calendar. Me coming home and cooking a three-course meal when I had to get my daughter to dance, go back and pick her up after I've worked 8 hours a day. On her dance days, it was a frozen meal, or it was pick up something on the way. There was fast food, or a Subway, or a whatever, or just pick up a rotisserie chicken and heat up something. Or it was helping me plan ahead for a crock pot meal that I could stick in the crock pot before I left home. That's what planning will give you. You're not just looking at your food, you're looking at how am I going to feel at the end of the day? What do I have going on today? And what time do I have? Is there time to cook today? If there's not, pick something else. That's what's going to set you up for success when you make your 24-hour plan. And remember, you don't have to do it in the morning or at night or whatever. You can do it whenever you want to. If you have got a busy day, you can even plan. I had a private client one time that I was working with, and she could not figure out when to make a 24-hour plan. She worked in a school, and at night she was just exhausted. In the morning, she was running out the house like with her ass on fire, basically. She was never on time in the mornings. So she decided she was going to plan at lunch. Her kids were out of her classroom at lunch. She had time just to sit. So she planned from, she planned her dinner ahead, not much ahead, but it was ahead. She planned her dinner, her breakfast, and her lunch for the next day, along with the snacks. Then she would assess at her lunchtime. But then guess what would happen? In the summer times, noon didn't work for her. So she planned in the evenings, during the summers, and during Christmas break. You have to find a time that works for you, and it may not be the same time all the time. It might not always be the same, be at the same time. And then we talk about my very, very favorite thing, the good, better, best. Because everybody wants to know, what do I plan? And I'm going to say this about y'all get in the weeds with good, better, best. I see it all the time. It is not every food has a better and best. Not every good food can you level up, or do you want to level up? I always use the example of like cheesecake. I love cheesecake. It's my favorite. If I'm gonna go anywhere and it's a homemade cheesecake, my cousin Tanner makes them every year for Christmas. They're the greatest things ever. I don't want to level it up. I don't want some bullshit cheesecake, high protein yogurt. No, I don't want to level it up. I want to eat cheesecake when I plan it and when I'm hungry and I've had enough. Cotton candy is a great example. You can't level that up. It's a good food. There's not a level up to make cotton candy a better food. So when you make out your list and you start to write down what are your good, better, and best foods, make sure you're thinking about that. Now, there are foods that you can 100%, you can level them up. You can level them up. Like even like spaghetti, like with all the heavy meat sauce and a bunch of cheese and like baked spaghetti and all that kind of stuff. Do you want to level it up a little bit? Use protein pasta. Double the meat. I did that last week. I made baked spaghetti and I doubled the meat to get in more protein. And I used that Barilla pasta protein pasta. It was amazing. So I leveled up my spaghetti that way. But not everything has a level up, and not everything do you want to level up. Whenever I was losing weight, I was like, I mean, it never did get the best, but I used to love white chocolate. So then I switched over to like, barely dark chocolate. And then I ended up, kind of leveling up chocolate till I was eating dark chocolate. That's still a good food. It was better for me, but I would never have said that it sustained me or created weight loss for me. But I just wanted to kind of healthify chocolate. And now I can't eat anything but dark chocolate. It's everything else is way too sweet. I ruined chocolate for myself. So if you love chocolate, you might not want to ruin chocolate for yourself. So, and then Corinne talked a lot too in there about how to like following the plan, it's not about perfection. And she said something, I wrote it in all caps. It's It's a skill you build, not a switch you flip. So learning how to follow your plan is a skill. You have to learn at first, how much food do I even put on this plan? Sometimes we overprepare, sometimes we underprepare. The other day, I was telling this to someone yesterday, I was hungry. 2 days ago, Monday, I was so hungry. I had my breakfast and I came home and I was shaky. I was still so hungry. And I didn't have anything. I mean, I had my lunch and dinner plan, but I made some eggs and toast because I was fucking starving. I don't know why. I don't know if it was hormones. I don't know what was going on, but I was off plan. But my hunger outweighed my desire to follow my plan. I always listen to my body. If you don't have something written down and you are hungry, eat. It is not worth you starving because you don't get that little checkbox at the end of the day that you followed your plan. Some days that will happen, and that's not a problem. A lot of times, too, you look at your plan, especially when you're new. You write down what you're going to eat, and then you're like, well, I can't have that. I can't have that. That's going to make me gain weight. I've never been able to eat that and lose weight. And so you start to create a should plan. Well, I should eat this if I want to lose weight. I should eat this if I want to have a good day or be good today. And then you set yourself up to have a bunch of shit on there you don't even want to eat. So sometimes you go off plan for that, and that is a great thing to notice. That is why you want to go ahead and continue to plan and learn those things about yourself. Sometimes you notice that at the end of the day, you always go off plan. You're like, fuck it. At the end of the day, I just go off plan. At that time, when you've got the data that you go off plan at night, every night, it's time to look at what emotional needs need to be met, which we're going to talk about next week. What are you missing? Are you lonely? Are you bored? Are you sad? Are you agitated? Is it a habit of eating at night that you've created over the years, which is true for a lot of folks? It helps you identify the areas of your life where something is missing when you continue to use food at that time. And you need to know that. And the way you know it is with your plan. That is the best way to get to the root of the problem. Another reason a lot of people go off plan is they are good all day and they eat shit they don't want, or they starve themselves all day because they are a teacher or they do whatever. And you're like over restricting during the day. And then at night, you're going off plan because you're starving. You have over dieted all day. It's good to know that. The plan is going to tell you that. Just because you're not following a plan at night, which we see, that's very common. Like the nighttime is when most people break their plan, especially if it's like habitual of breaking your plan at night. It's not time to stop planning. It is time to write in to ask coaches and say, hey, what could be going on for me? It's time to post in the Facebook group and say, I'm breaking my plan every single night. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. This is what's going on for me. And let us help you figure out what is it an emotional need? Are you over dieting during the day? Are you over restricting during the day? So that you can start to learn what your triggers are for overeating or going off plan. And we can help you figure that out. So there are good reasons to not follow plan. True hunger, just like I talked about the other day on Monday, I was starving. I was starving. So there you go. I broke my plan, went off plan, added food to my plan. Not a problem. Life throws you a curveball. Kid gets sick. I'm taking care of my mom. My mom's in assisted living. If my mom fell and I had to go to the hospital with her, something happened. At that point, that's when you dig into the spirit of the plan. I'm so glad we included this in No BS. This was what was missing all along. 80% of the time, we know exactly what's happening. Our life just goes along. Just we do what we do. We know what the day holds. 15 to 20% of the time, shit hits the fan. Something happens. At that time, you want to do the spirit of the plan. what look at what you know, if you had like a carb and a, you know, a vegetable and a meat, do the same. It might not look the same. It may not be exactly what you planned, but it can follow the spirit of the plan. The version of you that wrote that plan was thinking about, what do I want to eat today? What's going to help me create weight loss? What's going to get me to my goal? And even if you can't have those same things that she planned for you, that she said, this is what you need to get to your goal, you can follow the spirit of what she intended. So I just love that she included that this time. Sometimes, like, chicken didn't get thawed. You know, you told your kids, lay the chicken out before you go to school, and you come home and they didn't lay shit out. You have to pivot. You have to pivot. Maybe you have to order in. Maybe you have to go pick something up. Maybe the hamburger's thawed, but the chicken wasn't thawed. Maybe you had a hamburger for tomorrow night. You just go ahead and make it tonight. No, you didn't follow a plan, but you followed the spirit of your plan. And then finally, we talk about spontaneity. I love that. Spontaneity and vacations. So, friend calls. Let's go grab a bite to eat tonight. Again, you fall back on the spirit of the plan, or you decide, is it worth it in this moment with this food that's sitting in front of me? Is it worth it? Does this food, if I go off plan, is it worth it? Because sometimes the answer will be yes, and sometimes the answer will be no. I remember I was in no BS, but I had not, we weren't talking about this back in the time, but I went to orientation with my daughter for college, and she stayed on campus, and I had a hotel. And I had been in OBS for a while, and I was like, I don't know, maybe 40 pounds, 50 pounds down. And I was good at planning, did all this other stuff. Well, the night before when I got to the hotel, they had like, they served breakfast, and it was like biscuits and gravy. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to eat biscuits and gravy. So I didn't plan it. Well, I got up and I'm like, you know what? I am going to have, I love biscuits and gravy. I'm true Southerner over here. And I'm like, I'm going to have it. Well, when I got up and I went in there, it was under, like, the biscuits were in this little silver tray and with a little clear dome on the top. And it was sweaty inside. And when I lifted up the lid, those biscuits looked nasty on the top. They were nasty. They were like moist. I don't know if y'all like that word, but it was like wet. And it was, ugh, it was gross. And I just was like, this is not what I wanted. It's not. This is not worth it. And I made the decision to, like, you know, go back and do my other, like, eat whatever else, because it was just, it didn't look good. It was like, oh, if I'm gonna eat a biscuit and gravy, I want a biscuit and gravy. I don't want some wet, nasty, doughy biscuit and gravy. It's not worth it. When my cousin Tanner makes his cheesecake, if I didn't plan it and he shows up at my door at Christmas and he's like, here, MJ. Well, he calls me Joni. Here, Joni, I made a cheesecake. I just thought I'd drop it by. It's worth it every time. If I didn't plan it, I'm still gonna eat it. Cause you know what? It's worth it. It's 110% it's worth it. I used to have a sticky note on my refrigerator when I was losing weight. And it said, is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? Like, it made me think about, is going off plan worth it? Is this food that you're about to swap for, is it worth it? And in No BS, we talk about the velvet rope. Like, you know, does this food make it into the club? Does it make it in? Is it VIP enough? So if you're gonna go off, planning is not about being perfect. Planning is about making conscious choices about what you're gonna eat and loving the reasons why you choose it. And sometimes it means breaking a plan. Sometimes it means I follow the spirit of the law. Now, this thing, if you notice that you're breaking your plan every day at dinner, you need to plan differently. Like I said, this is like the 10% of the time. It does not happen often. And if you don't know what is being served, or if you're on vacation, y'all, we gotta turn our focus away to what we don't know. Yeah, we might not know where we're going, but I'm gonna tell you something. They are gonna have on the menu good, better, and best choices. You can decide at this dinner, I'm gonna have one good choice, maybe a glass of wine, and the rest are gonna be better and best. Are you gonna have alcohol or not? Because every restaurant you go, you know they're gonna have alcohol there. Are you gonna have it or are you not gonna have it? If you are, how much are you gonna have? If that you can even say, like, set some guidelines, some like little parameters for yourself. If I look at the menu and there is an amazing dessert, I'm not gonna get an appetizer. Or I am just gonna only gonna order an appetizer for my dinner so that I can have dessert. Think about what you do know, not about what you don't know. Because we've all been to restaurants our whole life. We know the stuff that's going to be offered there, that's going to be served. It's about the same. It's all about the same. So that's my speech on planning. I hope you love the new planner. I love planning. I will tell you, for me, I was the person who did for everybody else. I did for everybody else. If I told you, if I made you a promise, I'm still this way, but if I tell you I'm going to do something, you can write it down. It's going to get done. To my detriment, sometimes it will get done. But when I would promise myself something, I never followed through, rarely followed through. And the plan finally showed me that I was able to make. I used to think about it like my promise to myself. And when I finally realized that I could write down the foods and I could follow my plan, I thought, wonder where else I could show up for myself. Wonder if I could keep a promise to myself that I was going to walk. And that's what started my exercise journey, right? But it just started with planning. When I started to see that I can do what I say for myself. I can make myself a priority. I can say no to things that don't serve me. Huh. Wonder where else I can apply that. That's what changed the game for me. And it was from planning. Now, if you're new, make sure that you can also give yourself choices. Think about it like your menu. If you don't know what to plan or you don't not sure what to plan, write down a whole list of stuff. If you're not hungry, don't eat it. If you're not hungry, don't eat it. But give yourself some choices. And then you'll get to know what you like, and it'll, you can kind of whittle down the choices. All right. All righty, righty, righty. All right. Valerie says, "Hi, Coach MJ, you are the best. Thank you so much. Thank you for being you. You've been so inspiring as I learned the ropes here at No BS. I heard on a training you did that you plan chocolate almost every day as a way to take some of the sexy off of it." Yes, I don't really eat chocolate anymore, but I did for a long time. I did years, several years. I would eat two or three squares of dark chocolate every night. I used to with hot tea with my husband. Let's see. I've been doing the same for a few days, putting an optional sexy snack on my plan. So to desensitize self-sabotaging. That's perfect. My question is, if I end up not needing my sexy snack because I planned enough for my normal meals, do I count that snack as not sticking to my plan? No, if you have anything on your plan and you're not hungry and you decide not to eat it, you still followed your plan. That is a great question. Yeah, or and you also, Valerie, what you also do is you take a moment to celebrate the shit out of yourself. That's the other part that we miss a lot of times. When you have something on your plan and you don't eat it because you're not hungry, pat yourself on the back and give yourself credit for being a badass. Because how many times have we had a plan and because it was on the plan, we ate it? Because we had to meet our calorie or we had to meet our macro or whatever the hell it was. And you seeing something on your plan and being like, I'm just not hungry. I'm gonna skip it. That's a badass move and it should be celebrated, Valerie. So good for you. iPhone says, I have a socially triggering event tonight. Any tips? So a lot of times, especially when you start, it can feel strange to go to an event where everybody's standing around the kitchen island grazing. And I totally get that. So a great way is to, just like if you're going out to eat, you want to set yourself up for success by giving yourself a little bit of parameters. So maybe you decide that tonight you only eat off of a plate. I'm not going to stand around and graze. I'm only going to eat off of a plate. If you're being served dinner, you could say, if you're going to a buffet, I'm going to fill up my plate, but I will still have white space on my plate. So I'm not going to pile it up high. I'm going to still have white space on my plate. So that's another really good thing to do. The other thing is, Corinne, I think it was her first 365 or one of the first few 365s was about visualizing your weekend. That applies here as well. So go, maybe it was like last Thursday or Friday. Yeah. So make sure that you like go back and look at that because you want to visualize because it's going to probably be uncomfortable. So you want to think about that when you're in that situation and everybody's standing around and they're talking or whatever, what are you going to be thinking? What are you going to tell yourself in the moment? Are you going to be uncomfortable? Are you going to be nervous? Are you going to be anxious? What are you going to be? And how are you going to handle that in the moment? What do you need in that moment other than food? Start thinking about it that way because it's triggering because of the thoughts and emotions that you have. So you are preparing for a possible emotional overeat. And so you want to, it's not like you can plan your way. Like I've given you tips and tricks to kind of set yourself up for success. But what you really need is to figure out, how am I going to feel? What am I going to be thinking? And how can I emotionally take care of myself in that moment? Because we can, you know, say leave white space and do all that other stuff, which are great. They're great ways to set yourself up for success. But if you're not thinking about the emotional side of it, it's going to be a way, way, way harder evening. And when you've only ever allowed yourself to be comforted and to feel like centered with food, if you don't have a plan to handle yourself emotionally, what am I going to say to myself? Am I going to walk and go to the bathroom when I start to feel a little bit overwhelmed and take a few deep breaths? How am I going to take care of myself emotionally so that I can use some of the tips that I just talked about on this call? Because if you only gave yourself one tool ever, which is food, to handle these social situations, you've got to, you know, have a couple more tools in your toolbox and a plan for how to handle that feeling. Anita says, I have found that twice now when I have planned and eaten a salad, I get the biggest damn salad that me and my husband have shared, and I eat the whole damn thing and I'm overeating salad. What the fuck? Yes, you're probably thinking, this is good. It's good for me. It's nutritious, whatever it is. It's just salad, right? So what you want to do is, a tip for takeout salad for me is I put half of it away immediately. If I go to a restaurant and they bring me a salad, I ask for a to-go box and then I put half of it in my to-go box. And then I put dressing on the other half. I don't put dressing on the one half because it's nasty. Then you can't eat it the next day because it's all, I mean, I guess you could, but I don't like that. So go ahead and set yourself up for success in that way. Will you speak about the grocery planning from Kelly? What do you do when we still haven't planned, when we haven't planned the groceries, meal, shopping? So I don't know what I'm going to eat until I do. So I'm planning in the moment. I do realize the shopping game needs stepped up. Yeah. I don't like planning meals and the grocery shopping. You could do like just plan for 2 days. If you like leftovers, you could like, let's say Sunday, we always cook on Sundays. So like we go to the grocery store on Sundays. We don't really plan ahead. So, we cook on Sundays and that's typically what we have on Sunday night. And usually Monday night and every once in a while Tuesday night. In the daytime, I just have frozen meals. Usually, I do have stuff for sandwiches in there that I can plan, but I always have something frozen that I can heat up for sure. And then maybe you look at it at that point and then plan for another couple of days and go get some groceries. That's what I did yesterday morning. I did like ribs and potatoes and some slaw. So I just stopped by the grocery store yesterday after my Pilates class. And then I got what I needed so that I could have that for tonight. Last night, we'll have it again tonight because we have leftovers. So don't think about the week as a whole. If you don't love to plan and cook like for the whole week and like buy all your groceries at the beginning of the week, because it really might depend on what you want middle of the week. Just plan enough for a couple of days and then go back and do that again because that's the easiest way, especially if you like some more variety and like, you know, this. It's cold now. Like, you know, maybe you want to have some soup, but you know, if you'd have planned it on Sunday, you might have planned a salad and you want something warm. So you can just do 2 days at a time. Amber said, I've leveled up to making a weekly dinner meal plan. Here's the opposite thing. And I just choose from that list. Yep. Sometimes I get the plan for breakfast on there, and much less, I have lunch options on there. I'm having some thoughts about not tracking to have monthly data and not having a plan. Well, you do have a plan because the food's already cooked, right? I'm leveled up. I'm trying to figure this out and just choose from that. Sometimes I get the plan for breakfast on there and much less have lunch options on there. Yep. That's exactly what you're doing. You're making a plan. You're absolutely making a plan. You're making that menu and you're eating from that menu. You are. Planning is about making decisions ahead of time. It's about the version of you that wants weight loss this week. What does she say to eat? You're just doing it on a weekly basis because that's what works for you, which is totally fine. Dawn says, keeping commitments to myself is something I find challenging. Even things I really enjoy and are important to me. How did you build that trust? What's the best first step? Okay, first of all, love this question. Second of all, make sure you're not doing too much. 'Cause I said, you know, whenever I planned, then my next thing was, could I walk? Could I exercise? The first commitment I made to myself with that was I put on my workout clothes the minute I got up. So I had to lay them out at night. So I put my clothes out at night and put them on. I did not exercise, y'all. I did not take one step. Well, I did take a step. I stepped into the kitchen and got my coffee and sat and watched the Today Show. That's what I did. No exercise. It was a baby commitment that I kept to myself. That was it. And when that felt easy, then the next baby step was before you get your coffee, take a few laps around the house. So I would get up, put on my workout clothes, I would make a couple of laps. Get my coffee and sit and watch the Today Show. And then I think the other reason that we have such a hard time keeping commitments to ourselves is we don't give ourselves credit for what we're doing. So like I had a choice in that moment when I was just putting on my clothes. That's all I was doing. I wanted to be an exerciser. I wanted to get outside and walk. I wanted to do all of those things, but I was just putting on my clothes. Now I could have told myself, it's gonna take you so fucking long. You think you're gonna exercise? All you're doing is putting on your clothes, go sitting there like you know, sitting on your ass, not doing nothing. I could have had that conversation, but I made sure I gave myself credit for doing what I said I was gonna do because I said I was gonna do it. So I was like, look at you putting these clothes on. You might just be drinking coffee, but damn, you got one step in. You got your clothes on. That's always been the hardest part for you. And then 2 days in a row, look at you putting your clothes on. Girl, you're gonna get there before you know it. That was the conversation I chose to have. And when you talk to yourself like that, instead of, you really think this is gonna work, you never gonna get there. It takes you so long. Because I'm just gonna tell you, I have run countless half marathons, countless 10Ks and 5Ks. Because of that one decision that I made, and I just wanted to walk. I never knew I was going to run half marathons for crying out loud. Never knew that was going to be the outcome. But as I'm running half marathons, I am so thankful to that person who realized that putting on her shoes and her pants were enough. And even now, I go on Wednesdays, I go to Pilates late. But I have all the calls with y'all amazing people. So I got Pilates on the bottom. I got my leggings already on. And I got my sports bra and my Pilates socks and my stuff laid out on the, on the ironing board in the bedroom. You got Pilates on the bottom. Because I want it to be easy. I didn't want to have on jeans and stuff all day and then get to the end of the day and be like, oh, I don't want to go. I've made it easy. I've made it so easy on myself for the rest of the day. And I'm going to be thankful. And I will tell myself I'm thankful. When I was wanting to get in the habit of like stupid stuff, like making coffee, putting my coffee on at night, I still to this day, it's on a timer. It wakes me up every morning. Like the smell of it's just love. It's what it smells like to me. It's amazing. And every morning I wake up, and really the first thought I have now is I am so glad I did that for myself. I am so glad I don't have to go in there and make that coffee. And I'm really thanking myself for doing it the night before. It is giving yourself credit for showing up when you don't necessarily want to, and it is the way that you speak to yourself about it. I went way off on a tangent. Yep, business on the top, Pilates on the bottom. Yep. Oh, Luann said I slept in my sports bra the other day because I knew I wouldn't want to wake up and wrestle with that thing. Yep, girl, whatever works. Yep, I got Pilates on the bottom. How do you plan for that time of month when all reasoning and planning put stuff you know you want on the plan? If you know you crave chocolate or carbs or whatever it is, make sure that's the kind of stuff you're planning. And then you can say, when you want those things, you can say, I am so glad I took care of myself. I knew I was going to want pasta. And by God, here it is. I appreciate myself. Thank you, me, for taking care of me. And when you've got it planned, like here's what typically happens on a diet during PMS. You know, you want, I don't know what you want, but you know you're gonna want pasta and chocolate. So stereotypical. Sorry about that, ladies. But you know that's what you're gonna want. But you've been on diets in the past and they said those are bad for you and you can't have them. And so on your plan, you put what they tell you you can have, which is not chocolate and it's not pasta. So then you get to your period. And what do you think? I can't eat that. I feel so bad. I just want my heating pad. Feel terrible. I just want chocolate and pasta. And then what do? You go get chocolate and pasta and you eat the fuck out of it because you're already being bad. It already doesn't matter. You've already blown your plan. What about if you just give that to yourself? It's what you want. Give it to yourself. Care for yourself in that way, and you are going to be a lot less likely to overeat it because you're actually listening to yourself, giving yourself what you really want in the moment. You're caring for yourself, which will make it a lot easier to not overeat. Yeah, Amanda says she's starting to plan the fucking Cheez-Its. I love a Cheez-It. I love it. There's nothing better than a Cheez-It on the beach. It's my favorite thing to eat if I'm on the beach. I don't know why. I don't know why, but it is. Kieran said, I planned like a boss for months and then found it was consistently being changed. Tired of tried for equal swaps daily. This really got to bothering me. I started writing best choices from what is being served. Started off fine, but then I found I stopped making the best decisions. Now I'm not sure what to write when I honestly don't know where we will be or what we will be eating. This is mainly for dinner, but my brain goes crazy and it feels like for the whole day. Well, first of all, I love it when somebody says, but my brain goes crazy. Because you know why? Because you didn't say it's the whole day. You're like, my brain goes crazy and tells me it's for the whole day. So that also means, Karen, that you know it's bullshit. You know it's not true. So you can plan breakfast and lunch and snacks. It's mostly for dinner. So think about this. How about if you planned breakfast and lunch and followed it like a boss and then started writing for dinner best choices? Because I'm just going to tell you, planning, well, because now you've even said, like, you're just not making good decisions anymore because you've thrown the baby out with the bathwater or whatever. Plan what you can. At night, it is like, and maybe best choices, best decisions isn't the best, right? So you need to switch that up. Maybe you go to one good food and the rest are better and best options. Or, you know what? Today, only better and best options. Try that. Switch it up a little bit. Trick your brain into it. Because you know it's bullshit. And when you hear yourself, it's for the whole day, it's bullshit. That's what you tell yourself. This is bullshit. It's some bullshit story I keep telling myself. It's not for the whole day. It's one meal. It's one meal, and that is it. In general, I feel confident that I know what to do to achieve weight loss, but my problem is that I don't want to do the things. Yeah, Wendy, there's a lot of shit you don't want to do. I'm just telling you, I ain't never wanted to scrub a toilet, but I do it anyway. I do not want to put my laundry away today, but I probably will. I might not, but still might not do that. But here's what you're saying, Wendy. It's not that you don't want to do it, because you do. You want weight loss and you want to do the things, but you want it to feel exciting. And if it doesn't feel exciting, you think something has gone terribly wrong because we so often confuse and intertwine motivation, commitment, and excitement. Like they're all besties and they all have to go together. And they don't. Quite often, excitement does not come along for the ride. For commitment. My daughter is studying for the DAT, the dental entrance exam, or whatever the hell it's called. And every day I get the same phone call. I am not motivated. I do not want to go back to that library. I do not want to study. She's studying about 6 hours a day, plus she's taking college classes. I am not. And I said, good thing you don't need it. All you need is commitment. I tell her that every day. We go through it every day. Every day. Every day. She called me last night. She said, I'm out of the dungeon because she goes to the library. Like, it's a good thing you don't need motivation. Motivation is not required. Excitement is not required. Commitment is. Consistency is. I'm really struggling with nighttime binging. I know it's when I'm overwhelmed, stressed, or tired. Even when I add some foods to my plan, I find it hard to stay within the limits I give myself on my plan. Any suggestions to manage this better? Yes, Jennifer. First thing I want you to do is if you're past your first 30 days, make sure that you are in the binge subgroup, number one. Number two, you can go on the website and listen to the binge calls. Just type in binge, video replays, binge, and you'll get all of Coach Betsy's calls. And then also how to feel the hard stuff. I think you can just type Kathy into the search bar and all of that stuff comes up for you because what you need is to regulate your nervous system a little bit. You need to learn other tools to calm yourself down because right now you got food in the toolbox, ain't got a whole heck of a lot more in the toolbox, and you need other tools in that box to soothe that emotional piece. That is looking for food. I mean, I can give you every tip and trick in the book, but until you figure out how to manage your emotion and give yourself exactly what you need in the moment, which it's not food, but you're just using food because it's the only tool you have, which is normal because a lot of us only ever had food in our toolbox, right? Like that's the only thing we had. Our mamas gave it to us and we have kept it and it works, it works, creates other problems. But it does work to calm you down for a minute. And so that is what you're looking for. You're looking for an emotional fill that food is will give you for a minute, but not for long. And then that is why you're continuing to eat because as soon as you quit eating, that emotional need is coming right back up for you. So in those calls, There's also a course on bonus courses on the Pathways page, past 31 days, called Trusting Your Body. There's a lot of tools in there that you can put in your toolbox to help you in the evenings. Great question, though. Yeah, girl, I never had any other tools in my toolbox. It was food. And I would reach in and look around, and I was like, chocolate. Oh, shit. And then reach in, pull around, chips. That's all I had. And I had nothing else in there but a bunch of food. Let's see. All right. Any other questions? Populate them, y'all. We got 10 minutes left. Got 10 minutes left. Any other questions? We gonna get done early today? Because this is a true Q&A. I have given my speech. I have done all the things. Any planning questions? Especially if you're new and planning is new. Is there a widow subgroup? There is not a widow subgroup, Marnie. The planner is located on the website in the No BS Weight Loss course under in module 5. It is also located on the website under resources and helpful worksheets. You can find it there as well. And then after you've been here for 30 days, you'll see the planner on your navigation menu under resources as well. So we make sure that you can get it in a bunch of places. How do I plan when on a long driving trip? Girl, are you speaking to me? Dance mom. Hello. We traveled every weekend. Ah. So here's what I did. I kept all of my food in the trunk, in the way back. So I could only get a snack when I went to the back of the car, when we stopped to go to the bathroom. And then I did not let my daughter bring my favorite foods in the car. If she kept a snack in the car, it had to be something I didn't like. And that's how I handled long trips. And here's my other tip, because this happened a lot. When I was losing weight, we go on these trips. And I would always say, I don't want to drink my water because then I'm gonna have to make everybody pull over and stop. So, and I said, I'm gonna drink water when I get there. But then all the other moms were there, and then we just started drinking wine. Then I never would get my water in. It was a big old fat lie I told myself because it just did not happen. So one day I got in the car and I had my water with me, and I was like, I had been thinking about it for several weeks because, like, we went every weekend, so that meant like 4 days a week, I was getting my water in, and the other 3 days, because we were traveling and doing stuff, I wasn't getting my water in. So I wasn't even getting my water in. Like, I was only getting it in a little bit over half of the week. And I finally said to myself, you do enough for these Yahoos. You have spent thousands of dollars to go watch your child dance to sit in a cold, dark auditorium for hours and hours and hours, and my daughter basically danced for like 10 minutes the whole weekend while I had to hear, I can't find my barrette. Where's my barrette? Where's my pantyhose? Where's my tape? Rah, rah, rah. This sequin fell off. Rah, rah, rah. Like the whole weekend. And I was like, plus I cook and I clean and I wash their clothes and stuff. I deserve to pee. That is the least they could do for me. After everything I do for them, by God, they can pull over and let me run in and pee. I deserve it. And so I started drinking my water. And guess what they did? They would pull over whenever I told them to, and I would pee. And I got my water in because I, damn it, I deserved it. I was like, hurting myself when it didn't take but 2 or 3 minutes to run in and pee and come right back out. And then we'd be on our merry way. I deserved to pee. And I did. And I drank my water and I got it in, and I didn't give a shit what they thought. I'd do enough for them. Oh. I do enough. I did enough for them. I could pee. Anyway. Let's see. iPhone. Any suggestions of coping skills instead of picking up food on the way home? I switched to books and it has helped. Just have a lot of books now. Yeah. Drive home a different way too. If your favorite place that you always like your car just like and then you're like, how the fuck did I get here? Pick a different way home. Go down a different street. The best way to do it. Best way to break that habit. Go a different way. And then just also visualize. Like go back to that Corinne 365. Because y'all think, I mean, it sounds woo. It's really not. Visualize, what are you going to tell yourself in the moment? What are you going to be thinking and feeling as you pass that place? What is going to be going through your mind? What's it going to feel like when you tell yourself, not today? Because I never did tell myself, no, I just said, not today, not today, not today. How's that? What are you going to tell yourself in that moment? What are you going to remind yourself? Maybe put sticky notes in your car to remind you of your whys and your goals so that they're there all the time. When I did home health, I did rehab for a long time. Then at the end of my physical therapy career, I did home health and I had sticky notes all in my car because I was in my car all day. I passed, I had to go pee in the gas station and I had to go in there. And there was always like, you know, I passed every McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and Subway and everything all day long. And so I had shit all in my sticky notes all in my car to remind me. Let's see. Where are you putting how much you plan to use since the weekly planning page is no longer in the planner? Where are you putting how much you plan to use? Well, I mean, I still look at my whole week and you can write it down on a sheet of paper. Just because we don't give you the sheet, if you loved writing down like meal planning and what you were going to eat for the week, you can go ahead and do that. Where's that? Lisa, go over to the website. Listen, I'm a sinner on a scavenger hunt. Look on our favorite things, and there's like a notepad that like Kathy used to use, or I think she still does use it. And she and her husband sit down every day and write down like a meal, like for the whole week, and then it sticks like a magnet or something on the refrigerator. It's on that page. In one of Corinne's coaching, she says she doesn't believe in sugar addiction. I'm coming off a 3-year carnivore way of eating. Oh, look at Lisa so fast. Thank you, Lisa. She's so good. She said she doesn't believe in sugar addiction. I'm coming off of a 3-year carnivore way of eating. I'm not a moderator. I am scared. I will deep dive into my addiction. Please speak on that. Yes. So it's something that you could not have and you restricted for a long time. If you're going to reintroduce something like that and you do want to learn how to manage your relationship with sugar or whatever, at first, I would just plan like an individual something, but I would not keep it in my house. I just wouldn't because it makes it so much easier on yourself, right? Find ways to set yourself up for success. If it's, you know, chips or candy or whatever it is. If it's a soda, don't buy a 2-liter or don't buy a case of cans. Go get one can, drink it, and then it's gone. Make it easy on yourself. If you're going to reintroduce foods that you know in the past you have binged on, just buy one. And I'm just going to tell you, there's no shame in, like, let's say you want to have a Twix. I love a Twix. I really do. I don't have a problem with Twix, but like, if I was like you and I really just wanted to have a little taste of it, just to see what it was like, I would go to the store, I would buy the Twix that comes in the tube, and I would just throw one in the trash before I left. And then I would have one Twix just to get the taste of it. You can totally do that. How can I track for month data planning weekly? I tend to get brand. Let's see. How can I track for month data? You'll just go back and look at the 4 weeks. You're still going to be tracking every day, but you're just going to be weekly tracking. And then here's the other thing. The other reason we switched to weekly tracking is because a lot of people didn't even look at their numbers until the end of the month. And then they were kind of way off or way on or whatever. This gives you an opportunity every week as you track, am I eating when I'm hungry, stopping and ending up, doing all that kind of stuff, to identify problems early on in the month. If you notice that every day at breakfast, you've not stopped at enough, on Sunday or Friday or whatever day, you're like, oh, I need to really watch that next week so you're not 4 weeks in. That's why we like the weekly tracking. Is there any science that we gain more weight in the winter? Not that I know of. Actually, that's when I lose my weight is in the winter. Actually, I think that's really when Corinne, because Corinne goes to Vegas a lot in the summer and she gets like to the top of her weight range in the summer and then she loses in the winter. And I do too. I gain weight during football season. I'm damn tailgating and things, and then I get to the top of my weight range and then I lose it in the winter. I don't think that's true. It probably feels harder because it's cold out. And then you probably are including more good foods, like those comfort kind of foods, in the winter is probably why it feels harder. Let's see. In the new planner, Lisa, you'll see the habit. You can look at your habits for the week. I've been planning food groups daily and how many servings I need, protein, fruit, veg, grains, treats. Sometimes it works well, but sometimes I eat too much of one food group, ignoring the others. Any thoughts? Yeah, when you notice that you're like, whatever food group, because I've been talking about this so much lately because I've got the darn osteoporosis. So I have to be protein forward, is what I'm telling myself. I'm not tracking the protein, not doing any of that stuff, but I bought some of these like my snacks now are these Chomps bars. Chomps, they're like these. To make sure that I get my protein in. So whatever food group you notice you're ignoring and you want to include more of, start with it. Be that forward. I do love a chomp. They're expensive as hell, y'all. I got mine from the Costco's the other day. Turkey chomps are good too. They didn't have those at the Costco's. On my weekends, I go into fuck it mode and it takes me until Wednesday to get my act together. Okay. What is happening on the weekends? How can you set yourself up for success on the weekends? What does your weekend plan look like? Does it look different than your weekday plan? It might. It might look different than what you plan during the week. Make sure that you're not trying to should plan on the weekends. Over restrict on the weekends. The weekends you may notice you're going to include more good foods. Maybe there's alcohol there. And it's not during the week. Whatever it is, really look at those plans. What is doable during the week may not be doable on the weekends. Just going to say that. What is realistic and doable may not be. Is it that you go out and you have a lot more like flexibility and spontaneity on the weekends? And then you're like, well, might as well not even try. And then you go into fuck it mode. Write in to ask coaches and let us, like, we'll talk through it with you for sure. How do I get re-engaged, restarted? I'm not doing any of the things. I've given up. You have not given up, Jody, because here you are with us. Somebody who had given up would not be on this call and they would not be asking a question. So good on you. That means you still want weight loss. You're still willing to show up and you took the first step of asking a question. Love it. Makes me happy. This is what I want you to do. Go press play on the No BS Weight Loss course, period. On a podcast, on a video, I don't care. Just listen. And pick one thing. Maybe it's water today that you can do. And then listen, write in to ask coaches. Let's figure out what got you off track. Was it, this is taking too long? I'm never going to figure this out. I can't do this right anyway. I might as well not even try. Like, let's dig into that and find out what got you off track. Oh, that's sweet, Suzanne. Yeah, I find whenever I start to stop doing some things, I increase my no BS content and it always helps. Every time you can get Corinne in your ear, it helps me for sure. All right. Y'all had some great questions today. Oh my gosh. So make sure if you're ready for planning, if you're ready for planning, we have that like beginner sort of, you know, like the easy quick planner and the quick start guide, first of all. And then the planner is located in module 5, the link of the No BS Weight Loss course. It is also under resources, helpful worksheets, and it is also on your menu if you've been here longer than 30 days. But we do, you know, make sure that you have it in all the places. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Have a great day. Stay warm because a lot of us are cold. My daughter lives at Myrtle Beach. They had 5 inches of snow, 4 inches of snow, something like that. So it's cold, it's snowy. Do a little bit of OBS today if you happen to be home. And I just love y'all. Thank you for all the questions. All right. Bye, y'all.